What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
I'm Jeff. They call me the Ninja. And that is Joy the Girl.
Hello.
Hello. And that is Turtle. Right? Isn't that what we're calling you on the show? Is that your nickname? Good to go. Okay, say hello.
Hi.
Hey. All right, guys. So we are back now from a huge mission we had on the islands of
Well, you were on several islands.
Hawaii, yes. Went to Oahu. Went to Maui. Went to Kauai. We're there with Pastor Luke and our team to see about a church plant in the island of Kauai. And we're back now, and we're gonna hit the streets running, so to speak. So we were at the abortion mill again this morning. So usually we go to the abortion mill in Tempe, the Tempe Planned Parenthood. I got up early this morning. Yeah. Okay. Usually on Wednesdays and Saturday, those are the surgical abortion days. Many of you guys know about our ministry, the Red Door Ministry, where we go out to abortion mills locally to proclaim the gospel, to offer help, and to call people to turn away from killing their children. And the great blessing in all of this is listening to your stories, some of you guys who have now gone to abortion mills in your local areas to bring the gospel, to do what we have done. And the great encouragement is listening to your stories. And about recently we had one. Somebody said they had saved 5 babies since March. And they told us that one of the women they actually were able to bring into their home, and the woman lived with them for 2 months.
Wow.
So they can help support her as they, you know, as she was kind of getting on her feet. But praise God for all that. I'm just so encouraged. I want to, before we start talking about everything, point you guys to apologiaradio.com. Apologiaradio.com. We just uploaded recently a 3-part teaching series with R.C. Sproul Jr. on ministry to abortion mills. It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
If you want to get a sampling of it, you go to Apologia Studios on YouTube, and you guys can watch the first session by R.C. Sproul Jr. It's fantastic. I think it's called Why We Don't Go to Abortion Mills. I think that's the one that's up right now. So, but that'll give you a little sampling. But if you go to apologiaradio.com, APOLOGIA.com, radio.com, you guys can sign up for the all access. You can partner with us in ministry, and you guys can get all the content, the academies and everything. And it's all there, including a bunch of new stuff that's coming soon. So I encourage you guys to go take a look at that if you guys are curious about more in the way of ministry to abortion mills. All right, so let's get right into current events right now. So we're back in full swing. Let me point us, before we listen to this, to the scriptures. God says in Proverbs 24, starting in verse 10, it's kind of the theme verse for the Red Door Ministry. He says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those being taken off to death and save those stumbling towards slaughter. If you say, but we did not know this about this, won't he who weighs the hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life? No. Won't he repay a person according to his work? It's a challenging verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it speaks directly to the issue of parents taking their children to the slaughter. And the interesting thing about this verse, as you listen in a moment to what just happened at the DNC, it says, if you say, but we didn't know about this, won't he who weighs the hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? The point is I think all of us know as Christians in this nation that there are a lot of babies being killed. It's over 3,000 babies per day that are being slaughtered in our streets in the United States. And Planned Parenthood is responsible for about 1,000 of those a day. That's a day. That's a number you can't really understand. You can't really put it into perspective. I mean, 9/11 happened, and we responded by taking up arms. We responded by sending people to distant lands to fight for justice. And here we have that many killed every single day, innocent victims killed by their own parents who pay assassins to take their lives. And God tells us, he says, rescue them. Rescue them. And that's fundamentally what we're doing. So just quickly, you want to speak to that before we move on to the clip?
Play it.
I wasn't ready.
Play the clip. Just
I was ready for the clip.
Just play the clip.
Dive right in.
Okay, I'll dive right in. So here we go. DNC speaker shouts her abortion and the crowd cheers. The Democratic National Convention is happening right now. It is unreal what we face in terms of the options now for the presidency of the United States of America. But at the DNC, the president of every time I see it, I have a hard time not saying narwhal. Yeah. Hi, buddy. You find your dad.
I hope you found my dad.
Hope you found my dad. President of NARAL. I'll just go ahead and play it. How about I show you the clip? Here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, Elise Hoge.
I am a fourth generation Texan. Texas women are tough. We approach challenges with clear eyes and full hearts. To succeed in life, all we need are the tools, the trust, and the chance to chart our own path. I was fortunate enough to have these things when I found out I was pregnant years ago. I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time. I made the decision that was best for me, to have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community. Now, years later, my husband and I are parents to two incredible children. My story is not unique.
Nope. You and your husband, I assume if he's the father of your first murdered child, are the husband of three incredible children.
Yep.
You killed one of them. And it's interesting to think about the rhetoric, to look through the party line and the rhetoric and get down past the gobbledygook and start asking deeper questions. It's like we were at the abortion mill today and the common, I was actually surprised to hear this woman say what she said. She said, essentially, it's a clump of cells. I thought for a moment, wow, are we back in 1970
I
again?
That argument had...
People who are in the know and know where we're at in the debate now scientifically know that that is a fallacious argument and you don't use it anymore. It's bad. People now just say, no, yeah, it's a baby and we should kill it. We should be able to kill it. But it's interesting. Again, think about past the rhetoric. She says, I did what was best for me.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's the issue right there.
Right. Because this... issue, when you do this act, it is fundamentally about that. It's about you.
Selfish.
It's about you. It's not about that you're a baby. It's not about their life. It's not about their good. You're thinking about you. And isn't it amazing? Take a break. We're running out of time. Yeah. We will be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
This is Waterman with Apologia Radio. I want to ask for y'all good friends of ours to go on and click that button there and become my friends on the Bookface. Facebook.com/Apologia Radio. Become my friend on YouTube. Twerker. The twerker. I want to talk to you on the twerking. And send me out a twerk. What? Wait, what? Twitter. Apologia Radio on Twitter. And also want to tell you we talk about apologetics and theology, and we do a lot of swing dancing, and we make a delicious chicken gravy. ApologiaRadio.com.
All right, what's up, guys? Thanks for coming back from the break. Again, you guys can get more content at ApologiaRadio.com. If you want to hear the past episodes, the television shows we've done on this subject before. When we left to go to the break, I was wanting to make a point here that was, I think, something we need to talk about. Let's say that this was a man, and it's a guy who hasn't paid child support, right? He's not taking care of his kids. He's got six kids, right? Doesn't take care of them, doesn't pay for anything. He's just abandoned the family and everything else. And what if he stood up before a crowd of people and he's like, y'all? I did what's best for me. Mm-hmm. I did what's best for me, and I made a choice. I wasn't ready to be a dad. I ain't ready to pay for nothing. right? Like, imagine, would you have an audience going, yeah, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. It's only in this context, because people have bought into the party line, do we accept a parent celebrating, skirting their responsibilities as a parent, right? I didn't want a baby, so I killed him. And everyone starts cheering.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm ready, and now I'm going to go ahead and take care of these other two kids. And we forget about this third precious child that lost their life because this woman did what was, quote, best for her. Also, just interesting, compassionate care. Compassionate care for who? Which one of you got compassionate care?
Yeah, I didn't even grab that.
You may have been cared for and treated well when you went into this abortion facility, but I'll tell you, there was not compassionate care to the baby. I'm not sure how she decided to have her baby killed, but if it was via chemical burning, or if it was via dissection and the baby was chopped into pieces or and suctioned out and put back together again on a tray, or whether it was through a pill that destroyed the baby's ability to survive, whatever it was, it wasn't compassionate for the baby. So I just want to talk about that. The rhetoric that we have to just get beyond. When you go to Planned Parenthood, I was surprised today, the supporter today actually talked to us today, which was, it was a gift to me. I was super grateful that she was willing to do it. But it's interesting that when you get a chance to actually dialogue and you get off the television and out of the echo chamber that these people put themselves into, and you actually start engaging the issues and talking, they can't.
Right.
They can't actually engage. They can't actually get into a conversation that has a meaningful end. And, you know, oftentimes you find them just repeating what they heard from Hillary Clinton or from Planned Parenthood, and they haven't thought through it. And so I'll give it over to you guys.
I'll say that's much like any cult we talk to, anybody, once they get past the sound bites that they hear all the time, that there is their immediate response to stuff, they can't actually logically follow up with a meaningful conversation beyond those sound bites.
Well, and I think that's why we had to create that argument of like, well, that's what's just, it's just best for me.
Right.
Like, it has to become this sort of like subjective, like based on my life, based on how I feel. Because that, I mean, it's just wrong. And so, but you need to, like, depending on your circumstances, maybe it's okay to just do what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really the only argument left. If there's no, like, logical reasoning argument, then you just have to, ultimately, you just say, well, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So, Turtle, what's up, dude?
He's like a turtle right now. He's on the show.
Crazy, right?
So somebody asked you today why you go to the abortion mill. Sometimes I actually try to not bring him because he hasn't got enough sleep and I don't want to wake him up, and he gets really upset if I don't bring him. Why do you want to go to the abortion mill, Turtle?
Save babies.
It was interesting when I don't even know what you asked me today. What did you ask me today? I forget what we were talking about. And he asked me about how they do it inside there. And I know this is an awful thing to talk about with your child, but we want to teach our children about justice. And it was just really amazing when I shared with him a few of the things that they do inside Planned Parenthood, just how he responded was just in horror. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this even allowed? Why is it possible? It's amazing how when you talk to a child and you just explain it bare bones, this is what's happening, this is what they're doing, children have the ability to understand the nuts and bolts, that you can't do that. Mothers and fathers shouldn't do that to their babies. So it's just interesting. I was just thinking earlier, I'm just seeing my son's response to it. And
so, like, Turtle, like, when he was just saying that stuff, you were like shaking your head and like putting your hands up, like, why are we doing that?
No, I didn't do that.
Because you didn't. No, I'm just asking you, like, was it because, like, you didn't want to hear him explain again, like, what happened?
No, I wanted to know what they do.
I know, but when, like, a second ago when you were like, don't, were you saying, like, I don't want to hear it again because it's awful?
Yeah, I was doing it so.
Right. He didn't want to hear it again because what happens in there is so awful that you don't want to hear about it more than you have to.
Well, speaking of disgusting, I want to first warn our listeners. Turtle, take your headphones off for a second, okay? I don't want you to hear this. I just want to warn our listeners before you watch this or hear this. It's a show on Netflix, I believe.
Yep.
And it's a little cartoon. I just want to show you kind of the attitude. You just need to see it, and I just want to warn you, it's vile. So if you have children in the room, you might want to earmuff or mute or whatever, watch it later, pause, whatever you need to do. I just want to kind of show you some of the things that we face today in our current culture and how this is actually treated, even in a comedic way. So here we go.
So let me get this straight, Sextina. Someone put a baby in your belly and now you're like, auga, is there an undo button around here? Lego my Prego. Is that right?
That is exactly correct, Orion. But I am very excited for this opportunity to put a face on this important issue. You know, 1 out of 3 women will have an abortion in her life.
That sounds crazy high to me. I don't buy it.
I wanted to destigmatize the experience for all women out there. So I'm dropping a new single.
What?
The Prize.
New single.
Just relax. Crack an egg on your head. Feel the yolk drip down.
America, get your uteruses turnt, because this song is called Get That Fetus, Kill That Fetus.
Oh, dear.
I'm a baby killer. Baby killer makes me. Aliens inside me. I'm gonna squash it like Sigourney.
No,
get that
stop.
Fetus, kill that fetus. Get that fetus, kill that fetus. Rap, rap, pew, pew, rap, rap. Yo,
glasses, you did this. You empowered me to tell my story.
I think the tone might be a little severe.
Look, when you get an abortion, you can express yourself however you want. But this is about my body and my choices. And my choice is to be a totally insane bad.
Oh, I am getting an abortion. You're not even...
All right. Well, it's interesting because there's so many different ways to come at that because... My body, my choice.
Mm.
That's the argument.
Yep.
And the song, and I'm so sorry, but we need to dissect it and talk about how the culture speaks about these things. Get that fetus, kill that fetus, get that fetus, kill that fetus. Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to, I mean, this is a show on television and it's supposed to be done in a playful way. But what's amazing here is that the arguments, it's my body, my choice, those are the pro-choice, mm-hmm. the pro-abort arguments. And the content is right,
yeah.
right? Like,
oh, yeah.
How does
yeah,
a pro, how does a person yeah. who is pro-abortion or pro-choice, how do they argue really with, well, that's really what's going on? Well, the tone,
mm-hmm.
right? The tone is off. And I know it's just a cartoon, but the point is like, this is a real discussion to be had and it's really happening. And I think that this thing is vile and it is disgusting and it goes on, but I'm not going to assault you guys with the rest of it. But when we were at the abortion mill this morning, the woman that I was speaking to, and again, I'm so grateful she took the time to talk to me. She used the typical, well, it's a fetus.
Mm, yeah.
And I asked her, as we often ask people, I say, why are you speaking Latin? Why don't you speak English? And she didn't quite know what I was talking about. I said, why don't you speak English? You know, fetus means small child. It's with the origin of the word, baby. And it's amazing how we try to switch
yeah.
language to try to get away from what's actually taking place. But I don't know. It's really interesting. I'm just going to point everybody in a moment here to some of the comments made by pro-choice activists admitting what abortion truly is and how really the old arguments of it's just a clump of cells, it's not a baby, those sorts of things, you can't use those anymore now, which is very direct. Get that fetus, kill that fetus. Yes, you should be able to kill your baby. Stay tuned. You're going to want to listen to this next part. Be right back.
If so what is a philosophically devastating critique of your worldview, it is not a worldview you should hold on to any longer.
Virginia Tech, 2007.
So what?
32 children, kids, students are killed.
So what?
Andrea Yates, 2001, killed her 4 children.
So what?
No, we're not baby eaters.
So what?
If you can think of the flinch of their mind, when you throw a ball at somebody, some people jump back and some people reach forward to catch it. We want to shape graduates who their mind flinches in terms of cultural influence. When they hear an argument that needs to be engaged with, when they see a message that needs to be dealt with, that we want people who jump towards it and go after it. And that's what our curriculum is about.
We're back, Apologia TV. Don't forget to go to, you're not even wearing the shirt.
I'm not, because
you're not even wearing a shirt.
Know. I had a reason.
This is just totally a habit of mine, right? Just
it's good that you have the habit.
You don't have one either. Okay.
No,
MissionAware.com. They love us. They love our ministry. You should go and buy a t-shirt from them, MissionAware.com.
You can also go to EndAbortionNow.com.
EndAbortionNow.com has an entire series of videos that you can watch that describes the whole course forward to end abortion immediately at the state level. EndAbortionNow.com. I think it really blessed you guys. So we watched, oh, that's Michaela, by the way. Hi, Michaela.
Hi. We're turtle.
Yeah. turtle grew up. Michaela visited the abortion mill with us today and got to get into a little bit of a discussion. And
with the same lady.
That's right. Same lady. So thank you for joining us, Michaela.
Thank you.
Just quickly, in the Netflix cartoon, is that the right way to describe it?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was grotesque. Get that fetus. Kill that fetus, sort of the celebration. And the person says what? Oh, that's not the right tone, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a very twisted and morbid way of looking at this whole situation. But there's sort of this bombastic, like very, very grotesque way that this character does. And the other one's like, no, I'm getting an abortion and I don't like your tone. But the interesting thing is when you read what the pro-aborts say today, long after Roe v. Wade, it's not, again, it's just a clump of cells. It's not a human, those sorts of things. I mean, it's things like this. Judith Arcana said in a seminar, I performed abortions. I have had an abortion and I am in favor of women having abortions when we choose to do so. But we should never disregard the fact that being pregnant means there is a baby growing inside a woman, a baby whose life has ended. We ought not to pretend that this is not happening. And so get that fetus, kill that fetus. Here we go. In 2003, another prominent pro-choice advocate, Kathleen McDonald, wrote in her book, abortion is in some sense an act of violence and indisputably results in the termination of life. This is Australian pro-choice author Leslie Canold stated in her book, The Abortion Myth, Feminism, Morality, and the Hard Choices Women Make. Any woman who has felt a baby stir inside her and any man who has seen the tiny heart pulsing on an ultrasound screen knows that abortion is about ending a life. The same book quotes a British author and a pro-choice activist, Eileen Fairweather, saying it is possible for people to support women's right to choose whether they believe that abortion is killing or not. And here's an interesting interview. Listen close to this one. I remember feeling conflicted about the magic of being pregnant. I felt electricity running through my body. Not for a minute did I not think that it was a life. I knew it was a baby. Interesting quote from that book. So I think what is an important area for us to tackle here is to get through the rhetoric and the language, the emotionalism, and get to the heart of the issue. It's a baby. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. It's a baby. God says that it's a baby. We're uniquely and marvelously made by God. We're knit together in a mother's womb. And God says it's a life worthy of our love and value and protection. Science backs that completely up and corroborates that story from God from the moment of conception. And we ought to be speaking directly to it as this is a baby. You are a mother. You're murdering a child. There is hope. There is forgiveness. Please turn away from murdering your child. We need to speak well in the right way. Stop murdering your babies. I'd like to hear about, I'd like to hear what Michaela has to say about.
Well, if I can set up this conversation, because talking about the conversation switch, I was there when she first started talking to you. And how did she start the conversation? She said, oh, so you're against the choice for women or something like that. And she immediately made the conversation not about whether or not the baby is a baby, but whether or not you support women having the right to have a choice to murder their baby. And that's how she started the conversation right away.
Yeah. It was mind-blowing. I don't know. It was.
Well, it's interesting to me to see how the language forces the direction of the conversation, yeah. right? So I'm for women's rights and women's reproductive health, and I'm for women to be able to make the right choices for their life, and I want women mm-hmm. to receive compassionate care. And you stop and go, wait a second. That's what I want. Like, yeah. you know, I want right. women to have reproductive health, and I want women to get compassionate care. And so the argument is like, and you don't. Yeah. You don't want women to have compassionate care. You don't want women to have reproductive health, you know, care. You don't want women to have choices.
I want all women, right. including mm-hmm. baby women.
Right.
Yeah.
Also known
because
as girls.
Because there are yeah. women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how women come into the baby women.
That's how they come into the world. I want the baby women, also known as girls.
I really like that. I like that because you have to consider, like, how can it be, like, a pro women's movement if women, like, little women are being killed?
Yeah.
We're not talking about the book either.
Right. No, we're not. We can get into a literature discussion later if you want. But something that I think is really interesting is actually the statistic that I've been hearing more and more, and I've heard it multiple times as I'm mm-hmm. listening to you guys, like, playing clips and stuff as we prep for the show, about the statistic that says 1 in 3 women have had an abortion.
Yeah.
And so that's the argument that follows. It is murder. It's violence. But we want to do it anyway. And so how you can feel better about that is by knowing that, you know, women around you have also done it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the statistic isn't, I mean, it's just like this sort of weird, like, Orwellian thing going on where they're switching language. And how the statistic should read is 1 in 3 women are committing murder.
Yeah.
But which is not normal. Like, and if that's how the stat read, like, we wouldn't be okay with that.
Right.
But I just want to make the point that, like, the only way to go from it is violence, it is murder, is we just need to make it okay.
And I think I don't know what the statistic is, but we should have a response to that 1 in 3 women have had an abortion and say, you know, how many baby women have been aborted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's just, and honestly, it doesn't even really speak to, like, when you're saying babies are murdered here, saying 1 in 3 women have had an abortion is not even a statistic that is an argument to
it's
what we're saying.
It's not a cogent argument.
No, it's not even, it's like a distraction almost.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not a correct statistic.
Yeah, if we're arguing against theft in society and then everybody said, well, goodness gracious, 9 out of 10 people have stolen something in their life.
Right.
We don't say, oh, great, well, so now we should let larceny run rampant in society.
Yeah.
Right, let's let it go. Let's let it run rampant. That's not an argument to continue to kill our children, and we ought to start thinking through this at a much deeper level. And the ultimate thing here is it's about the gospel. It's about forgiveness. It's about who Jesus is, about who we are. It's about freedom from our sins. It's about us desiring to help these women. That's what we want to do. You can find out more at apologiaradio.com. Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl, Michaela, catch you guys next time. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversation, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out.